Meow.
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 This got the intro.
Meow.
Let's do the intro.
Meow. Meow. I got it. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Can you feel it? Is it working, guys?
It's working. You
know, Michael W. Dean and Davi Barker.
Yep.
Worms.
Yeah, and this is a teaching hospital. It's not a hospice anymore. I got guardedly good news today. It's a teaching hospital. Although my home is now my radio studio is my bedroom is also now filled with actual high-end expensive rented medical equipment. So it's kind of like a hospital room in here. I have nebulizers and oxygen concentrators, and I went today and got IVs of asthma medicine on a drip. It was the same drip they use in Breaking Bad. You know that one? In the MASH in Mexico? Gus's MASH.
Groovy.
You know the one. Yeah. So, and it's a teaching hospital. So, MK, it's Locus Coeruleus. It's a soft C. And you got it? You there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah, okay. And you guys can talk. Be more lively. Wake up. You were so lively before the radio started. I know you're so shy about being on radio.
Well, there's this guy talking, and I don't want to talk over him because he seems to be in the middle of some sort of
I know.
A point.
Thank you. You're being respectful.
Right.
I forget that I'm at like
on you,
one
man.
Third of my lung capacity. So, LibPair. It's LibPair, not LibPar. Libertarian Paradise. I don't know if it's you or someone else who was saying LibPar. So it looks like LibPar, but it's LibPair. So here's the thing. I'm only going to talk a few minutes. And then I'm going to let this guy talk for me.
Chris Cantwell, not even once.
Not Chris Cantwell, the guy who's saying that, my proxy, my robo voice, James. And he has legal voting rights in America now, so with the Obamacare.
Right.
Really?
And you know, with the Obamacare, someone's going to yell at me about this sooner or later. Okay, I'm getting like $10,000 a month worth of medical care, not from the government, from my insurance company. With pre-existing conditions for $600 a month worth of medical insurance. Now, this sounds like a scam, but the insurance companies agreed to this to get everyone signed up. So they are getting punished by me. So,
Yeah, I heard a report about why the early adopter insurance companies signed on, and it's because it's it makes them too big to fail. It means that if they don't profit, the government gives them profits for them. So... really, it's the insurance company that is.
I'm the loss leader for them.
It's rent seeking,
but
right?
I'm the expensive cost of doing business for them to do this.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep,
there you go.
My wife has been so great about this, and she's so relieved today when she went with me to the doctor because of the guarded good news. She is a trooper, man. She is she's holding up to the through sickness and through health. And we had a wacky wedding, like that's at the courthouse in t-shirts, and the guy who married us was talking backwards like Yoda, and
nice.
So, but I made sure that was in the contract, man, through sickness and through health, because I lived a rock and roll lifestyle, and I knew
there
I'd be
dead
in one day.
I don't know about the rest of it, but I'm keeping that line.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and she's sweet about it. It's not like it's not begrudging. She's just really sweet about it. And this whole thing is I'm getting better.
That's good.
It's going to be ongoing. It's going to be the rest of my life. It's going to be constant vigilance to keep this under control. But and it's going to be a lot of work. And I'm on like 5 drugs right now for the next month at least, including like things I have to sit down and like pump hot, steamy drugs into my lungs for 5 minutes or 10 minutes morning and night, and then take 7 pills in the morning and then none the rest of the day.
Wow.
And then use a discus inhaler of steroids, and not the kind that pump you up either. They kind of do the opposite, actually, probably. But so,
no.
So,
I'm glad you're feeling better.
Yeah, man. So, I'm feeling
really
better.
Good.
Yeah,
I mean, I was worried,
but I'm still feeling like me better right now is like a normal person on one of their worst days. Like, I can't believe I'm doing radio, but I just had to come and tell people. So, I'm not done with the fiends. And I'm going to teach you all to edit, though. I'm sick of doing everything, man. So I appreciate that most of you said you'd do it and you want to learn. So then you can go do your own podcast. So here's the thing. I can't read a lot of text. I can't talk a lot. So I'm going to have Davi read. I'm going to have you guys read the emails I sent you today and read that first part of the Wikipedia entry about what I have, which is the most metal sounding disease in the world. I have status asthmaticus. It sounds like a black metal band. It's status asthmaticus.
There you go. That it's a lung metal band.
It is a lung metal band. Very metal. And you don't need to make an image for this one, because we have one that's so metal for this tonight, Davi. It's wonderful. Okay. And so I have status asthmaticus. So I have lung worms. So I am going to play the most brutal 40 seconds of audio anyone's ever heard.
Oh, no.
All right.
Is this going to be worse than ASMR or whatever that was?
Yeah. This is the antidote for ASMR.
You know, you should release this as an ASMR video.
No, this would give those people nightmares. They couldn't handle it. It'd slit their wrists.
I'm already going to have nightmares.
Oh, she heard it. Yeah, so.
I heard it.
Okay, this
I can't
is.
Unhear it.
Okay, this is.
Was that it?
That was the first quarter second of it.
No.
All right. This is me coughing and wheezing. It's getting better. Okay, here's the thing. Your lung capacity is measured in, I don't know, like you blow into this thing. I have one at home. That's part of the 20 pieces of medical equipment in my home now. Lung function pulse meter. It measures how many millibits your lung is or something. And let's just call it millibits. I don't know what the thing's called, but normal for a man my age and height would be 600 millibits. My lungs for a month have been 150 millibits. That is bordering on the edge of lethal. Wow. I should have been in the hospital. I found out today. My oxygen was 10% lower, like getting down towards. Put it this way. Now that they started treating me today, lights seem brighter because they've seemed dark because my oxygen was so low. Like my volume has been down.
Wow.
And now I'm up from 150 after the IV and two nebulizer doses today. I'm up to 225. So I'm at a third of my lung function instead of at a quarter, and it feels like an improvement. If either of you were at a third of your lung function right now, suddenly, you would call 911. And I've been that way for a month. Here's the thing. Wow. I don't understand healthcare. I didn't have health insurance. Then I got it. Then I went to a doctor, and she like thought it was something else because the thing said, but I had to get these pulmonary tests. So I got them. She was out of town for a week, like teaching at UCLA, and then for a week, like learning and getting totally up to date on the latest stuff at Harvard. So, you know, she teaches at one college and then goes and learns at another college. Like, that's how good she is. She's the best person in my state for pulmonary. So I didn't want to go to another doctor. So I also have a general practitioner, and I went to him, and he looked at the results and said he thought I had a restrictive lung disorder, but he's not a lung expert. So I thought that was it. And that's like, you don't come back from that. That's like the rest of your life, you're on oxygen, and the rest of your life, you feel like shit. Sorry, drop that, dump that. Never done that, man. So I've been coughing so much. Okay. If you want to know what I've been coughing, look on Wikipedia under phlegm, which is the stuff that comes up from your lung. And there's a picture of what's been coming up from my lung about 20 times a day. And it takes about 20 minutes of coughing to get one. And, I've coughed so hard that it's hurt my sides, and I've coughed so hard that I've crapped myself four or five times in a month. I hate to say, but that's how
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing. So that little lung butter there, I've been coughing up 10 to 20 of those a day. So what I really
You're
have
a trooper,
is,
man.
I am, man. And you know,
are you going to play this audio? Did I miss it?
No, this audio is worth 20,000 words. I'm going to play it twice. All right, here we go. I'll play it once and then we'll discuss it. I'll play it. Then I'll play it backwards. And I'll tell you about the music I'm going to make out of it. This is me breathing out. Not forcing it. That's what it sounds like.
humming.
Oh, man. Yeah. It sounds like the B-roll of Omen.
Exorcist, yeah.
Oh, make it stop.
That sounds like
you're going to lose stations over this.
That sounds like multi. Yeah, it's like not what I said earlier. They don't care. That's going to get people
it's
calling
like demons
in.
Humming okay. in unison.
That sounds like several voices. Now, I'm wondering if there have been cases where people in, you know, third world countries where the only thing, they don't have a hospital, they just have like a guy with a stethoscope. He listens to that and they think it's demons. Because it sounds like five
clearly
people.
Clearly there's something else in there.
It sounds like five people burning in hell in my lungs, man. Okay.
It's like a choir of demons.
It really is. So let's play it backwards.
Get a hidden message.
Again.
Ugh, it's even weirder.
Okay, there are no effects on that. It's just backwards.
I think I heard John Lennon say something.
I buried Paul. I buried me. I buried Nima. The Founding Fiends. Oh, no. Lou says we're the Founding Fiends.
The Founding Fiends. Yep. There you go.
All right. So.
Wow.
So that's my journey into darkness. And, you know, Selby wrote a book. His last book was called Waiting Period. And it's about a guy who has such bad lung diseases that he's in such pain that after years of it, one night he says, tomorrow I'm going to buy a gun and kill myself. But he's in California and there's a waiting period. So he buys one and waits 10 days to get it. And during that time, he decides that killing himself is killing the wrong person, and he goes on a murder spree of bad people. Read it, people. Waiting period. It's his funniest book, and it's the happiest book he wrote, actually.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Meow.
And we're back.
Chris
this
Cantwell,
is the Freedom Fiends.
Not even once. Chris Cantwell. Not even once.
Okay. It's the last segment I'm going to do because I'm getting really lightheaded and don't want to. If I do a whole show, I'm going to recover from this, but if I do a whole show now, I end up having an 8-hour event that feels like I'm being waterboarded, so that's not good.
Aw, dude, take care of yourself. Yep. Put your health first.
But Cantwell saved my life, and I want to thank Cantwell for saving my life.
What
so,
now?
Cantwell saved my life. So okay. The other night, I'm, like, dying, and I'm thinking...
Like, of, manually and or in some sort of abstract, like, conceptual
no,
way?
No, by, like, you know, trying to white knight some broken chick. You know, the reason... Oh, okay. Like, I wouldn't have tried to save that girl. I like what he did, but... I want to try to save her because, like, here's my experience. I lived below a wife beater, and when I tried to call the cops on him to save her from beating her when she's pregnant, she turned on me. I know how women are when they're crazy over men like that and drunk. All right,
well, no, domestic violence is a complicated situation, but we can go into it later.
I would have called the police. I would have kept walking, filmed.
Well, someone did, and that's who de-escalated the situation.
I don't think they did. I think that's just downtown.
Thank God
Keene.
The police came.
They got there too quick to be called.
Those Keene police... Those
no, they were just
so
on the street, I think. Did someone call them? Do you know that for a fact?
I don't know.
I think someone did if they were there.
I think they were just down there. It's a college town, man. It's downtown in a college town. They were out.
Well, I mean, it looked like these kids were screaming at each other in the middle of the street. It's possible anybody on that street could have called them.
Yeah, okay, so here's how Cantwell saved my life. So I'm sitting here with a quarter of my lung capacity for a month. I'm thinking about Hubert Selby, my hero, my only hero, pretty much. Him and Ben Stone. So... Hubert Selby was dying for 50 years and he was on oxygen and he had a lung and a quarter removed. He was on 3/4 of a lung last 10 or 20 years of his life, maybe longer. So, his friend said he was dying for 50 years and he was. So I was reading his book the other night, Waiting Period. Well, I was thinking about it. I was too sick to breathe. I was thinking about it. I was thinking about, like, what would get me out of this pain? And I was like, oh, huh. Well, I already passed my waiting period years ago. I wasn't saying I was going to do anything. I was just kind of in a really, really dark place. I was sitting there. I was in a really dark place. I was listening to Freedom Fiends with Derek and Brett. I was contemplating calling in and saying some final thing, dropping the mic, and then going and dealing with my pain in ways that maybe you don't come back from. I don't know. I'm not going to say what I was going to do, but I wasn't going to
do... Are you saying go and read Waiting Period to figure out what you were thinking of doing?
There you go. Let's say that. So I was in the darkest place I've been since... Darkest place since my daughter died. Darker. Darker. Because this is me, man. And I'm a, you know, individuals are selfish. So I'm thinking it. I'm literally thinking this through. I'm not saying I was like actually going to do it, but I was like kind of going further than I really ever would. Because I'm not that guy. I'm a happy guy. But you try breathing like through a soda straw for a month. That's what this feels like, or less. So I'm thinking that. I'm thinking like, okay, next segment I'm going to come on. I'm going to break in with the Fiend emergency alert, you know, system and say, hey guys, I got to say something here. Talk for a minute. Drop the mic as they're screaming and trying to make calls or something, and go, you know, read Waiting Period, let's say, in the backyard, you know, and water my trees or something. So I'm doing this, and then Derek J emails me and says, watch this Cantwell video. I watch this Cantwell video, and I'm like, this is the weirdest thing ever, man. And I'm about halfway through it, you know, I'm sitting here watching Cantwell get, cops are pointing guns. I'm hearing cops point guns at him, and he's begging for his life, which I would do, you know. He handled that part really well, I think. You know,
I don't know that he was begging for his life. He was definitely screaming, I'm obeying, I'm obeying, I'm obeying, words to that effect.
He invoked God, and he's an atheist, so there's no atheist in foxholes.
Did he really? I missed that
part. He said something like, believe me, please, God, believe me. I put the gun down. Oh, something like that. He said something about God.
That's just an exclamation point.
I know. So, no. I don't know about, you guys can talk to the cows that come home about that he shouldn't have done what he did. But I think once the cop showed up, he was perfect. I couldn't have done it better. Okay, so that's what I was praising him about, really. And kind of like, yeah, he kind of tried to help somebody. So, but I was contemplating all this dark stuff. And like, Derek J called me with the most ridiculous question ever. Can I put Chris Cantwell on the show? And I'm like, that would probably be more entertaining than what I'm about to do. Go ahead.
Black swan
moment. I was not in my right mind. That's what I'm saying. That's why I let him do it. We'll be back with more.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Yo, what did you say, Dobby?
I said I think I would find surgery very relaxing. I find the dentist it very relaxing, like lying in a chair, having him poke sharp things at me, and like, I don't know, I find it soothing.
Nobody's ever read Waiting Period by Selby. It's like, it sold like 1/100th the copies of Last Exit and Requiem.
It's a great premise. I mean, like, I had kind of a suicidal phase as a teenager, and that's what got me out of it, was I couldn't think of a scenario where a life with nothing to lose was not as valuable as no life at all.
Yeah, that's true. So
I was like, why would you kill yourself when you now have given yourself license to do anything? It's like a Fight Club moment.
I'm going to just use that black metal image as status asthmaticus. Did you guys see it?
I haven't found that link yet.
And I'm just going to call, the whole show notes are going to be just the brutalist talk radio segment ever. Or the brutalist rock talk radio hour ever. I'll send it to you. You haven't seen this thing? Oh, man.
Phlegm brutalism.
Phlegm brutalism.
Yeah.
Man, I hate people. I'm tired of people.
They're all pussies, too.
Yep.
I hate how that girl ran at Cantwell and then cried like a victim when the cops showed up.
Well, yeah. If drunk people were reasonable, that would be a thing, but they're not, I mean, which is why you don't.
I mean, that's scary, too.
You know what I'd like for drunk people? I'd like a spider web spray gun. just like engulf webs, or like, you know, a foam gun.
Oh, like
you just walk up to them and just
foam gun,
spray foam around them and watch them trip.
Glue.
Ooh, I have this really good like anti-drunk person repellent.
What is
it's
it?
Called like leaving them alone if they're really pissed off and not provoking them.
I'd be scared of anybody that charged at a gun.
Attacks.
I saw an 18-year-old Vato. I saw an 18-year-old Vato in L.A. with his 16-year-old girlfriend standing next to him in a mini mall parking lot, beating the shit out of the probably it was the girl's 70-year-old grandpa. That's what it looked like to me.
That sounds really messed up.
Yeah, I would call the police now. I think that might be one where I'd pull a gun. I don't know, man. It's a girl and a guy though. I would have done what Cantwell did if it was two guys and they weren't gay. No, I wouldn't have. I would have kept walking and called the cops.
No one was asking for his services, and then they explicitly rejected his services that he was trying to provide.
Yeah, she did too. But
I don't know. It's kind of socialist to try.
So
to
did the wife beater. The wife of the wife beater. The wife of the wife beater rejected my services, but she later left the guy, and now
they're allowed to do that.
This would be a good time to talk about domestic violence.
She now works. She now works at the battered women's shelter she ran to after she finally left him.
Well, I mean, so
right,
it's
a choice that you have to make yourself.
Yeah, yeah, it's in AA terms. Rejecting help is saying, no, I haven't hit rock bottom yet. I'm good.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, I was doing it for the kid inside her, really.
Well, that's different.
They got in a fight
also,
one time.
It's also imperfect born. Knowledge.
They got in a fight one time. I don't know. I could hear every word of their fights from my apartment. They got in a fight one time, ran out of the apartment for 10 minutes. Their baby crawled out on the 6th floor fire escape, and like my girlfriend found it and brought it inside.
I think that's okay. You're allowed to intervene in that situation.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And the mom just came back
and
like
hear and see harm being done.
And the mom got mad at her. Like, what are you doing with my kid? All right, here we go.
How dare you catch my baby while it was falling?
Baby catcher. That's what they call midwives.
Baby catchers are the new white knights. Is that what
you're
saying? Tulas.
Yes. Well, but they're asked to do it. Freedom fiends. So,
no, you have to ask the baby if it wants to be caught on the way down. Otherwise, it's a violation of something.
Yeah, well, speaking of contracts, Cantwell's a contract breaker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Chris Cantwell, not even once.
So, you know, when I was in my cell,
that's a tall charge. You gotta pan that one out, man. That's a big
I had
deal.
Him on the show once and never will again. So,
no, the contract breaker comment. Okay. I mean, that's an accusation.
No, I'm gonna he did. I'm gonna get to it. So, I was having my Selby moment the other night. Now, the thing I didn't remember to say was that I had slept 2 hours a night for 5 nights because that wheezing woke me up. It was like snoring volume. My wife could hear it through a closed door. In the other room. So my wife's kind of, I mean, we have separate rooms. Yeah, because I'm kind of like a MGTOW. Is it MGTOW? How do you say it, MK? Men going their own way?
Oh, yeah, MGTOW.
MGTOW. Yeah,
MGTOW.
The heck is that?
It's the latest acronym.
Men going their own way.
I turned Davi onto something? Yeah. I'm kind of a MGTOW, but married. You know, I kind of like...
That was the most recent, like voodoo philosophy Molyneux video that you shared had that in it. I didn't know what that was.
Ignore
so what
him.
Is men going their own way? Is that a journey song?
Men who
pretty much what it sounds like.
Who get out of the dating pool. Basically, it's Fight Club without the fighting. It's men who are like, I'm sick of women thinking they're the horse's patootie because I have one of these and you want it. I liked one of the comments on that Cantwell video, about the girl charging the guy and then her charging Cantwell violently, you know, aggressively. And there were 4 people coming at him, and people were saying, like, you should have pepper sprayed him. No, pepper sprays can do anything to 4 people at that point. So, you know, but she was like running and then like pulled her boyfriend into running at him. And then when the cop showed up, she's all bawling like a victim. And chicks do that. I've seen that a lot. I've seen guys do that. I've seen skinheads do that. Henry Rollins used to write about how often skinheads would punch him at shows. And then when the cops, they would call the cops on him when they got a black eye. So
I got the impression the boyfriend was coming after the girl to pull her back. That was what it looked like.
You thought what?
Yeah.
When I watched the video, it looked to me like the shirtless guy was trying to catch the girl and pull her back before she got out of the scene.
It was hard to see. I want to get Cantwell a body cam. I think he needs one. So he should get one. Can citizens buy them? I mean, I don't know why not. You could make one.
It's just a camera. What do you mean? Of course, you're a citizen.
Well done, citizen.
Let's start a Kickstarter.
Yeah. Okay. So
maybe we could get the Keen cops body cameras so they can protect people. From
they can protect Cantwell from himself.
Yes.
They kind of did. So the cops
they
were,
saved the day.
I love that.
Actually, they prevented that woman from being
okay,
killed.
Okay. In that video, Cantwell like invoked God and thanked the cops for doing a good job. I would have too.
Cops did an excellent job.
I would have too. Yes.
Yeah, so I agree with that.
I'm not saying he's a hypocrite. It's just it's ironic. It's cute.
Yeah, but he knew that it was. He chuckled when he did it.
Yeah, so I'm a MGTOW is married. All right,
I appreciated that the cops like made a point of saying that all of his activism was a separate issue, and they got that wasn't related.
Yeah, in New York, they would have killed him.
They'd have been like, I know you. They would have killed him. You can fend for yourself.
They would have killed him and stole his cell phone and said he didn't have one on him. They would have stole the cell phone and thrown it up on a roof and come back for it later.
No, they would have killed him and then like put a different caliber bullet next to the gun that they planted.
No, they would have
had
a drop cell phone.
That's what they do in Florida.
They would have had a drop gun and a drop cell phone to put on him. Yeah, so.
Probably.
I wish we knew who these other four people were.
Well, one of them got put in protective custody, so you could find out. But no, okay.
Yeah,
so,
and their names are in the video. It's Nick and Ashley. And
here's the biggest
thing.
I said he's a contract breaker. So I'm in my Selby waiting room moment, and then like you know, out of the blue, Derek J says, "Can I have Cantwell on the show?" And I'm like, "Well, I was gonna do this other thing that I couldn't come back from, so let's try this. I'll try anything." You know, there's no way on a normal day I would have let him on there. So I let him on. But I said in the email to Derek, I said, but you have to tell him he has to just tell the story about this pulling the gun self-defense situation. He can't go on a rant bashing me. First thing Derek J says when he comes on. No, Derek J says, Michael Dean said you could come on, but you can't bash him on here or something like that. You can't talk smack about him. That's the contract. That's okay. Do you want to be on? Do you agree? You have to do this.
You're on someone else's property.
You're on someone else's property. And he immediately said, I'm not going to agree to that. I hate Michael Dean. And then he badmouthed me.
Yep.
And then Derek J shut his mic. I don't think he was cussing. I think he was just badmouthing me. You didn't listen to the Fiends that Cantwell was on for 30 minutes?
I tuned in as soon as you said, hey, go tune in, I went and tuned in,
hey, Dobby,
but I didn't hear the beginning.
We have a podcast. It's at http://www.freedomfiends.com. You got that?
No, Derek J. Handled
I think I
like
got
a
it.
Champ.
There's a picture, there's an episode, a recording of this in pretty good quality. It's the one with the picture of Cantwell holding an umbrella as frogs rain onto his head, because that's how rare him being on my show was. It was like the day frogs rained. So I had him on. So the first thing he did was he sat down and he broke the agreement that I presented to him through my proxy. It's cut and dry. There's no social contract. Yeah. He was on my radio property. He broke
there you go.
The
well, he doesn't
contract.
Respect property. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't
well,
even think
that
it's
would
a
mean you can. That means you can shoot him, right?
Property or privacy, right? Like you can
only
shoot
if it,
him, right?
Only if it happened to while it was happening to stop him.
Well, no, unless of course he can go out and pull back all those radio waves that are
no. It would have been
the,
it would have been
and undo the damage to the property.
No, what
right?
I could have done was called Derek J up and said, "Well, now you have permission to shoot him on your show, on my show."
Yes.
As a proxy, since he was the contract negotiator, he was the landlord. A landlord can evict somebody, and it's evictism, you know? Yeah.
So that's the question. Evictism. Can a landlord shoot a little girl that tramples on their flowers?
Yeah. Hey, and hey, you know what? A half hour of radio time
Anything
on the Fiends.
Possible.
A half hour on the radio team's Fiends is worth a lot more than a paperclip. It's $300 for a 30-second ad for a month. That's... How many plays is that? It's 30 plays. So that's 15 minutes. So that's 30 minutes. That's $600 worth of radio time. So he stole that. I'm going to send him a bill.
There you go.
There you go.
I take Bitcoin, Fiend coin, Worm coin, and paper clips.
Paper clips.
All right. I got to stop talking.
I mean, he was just.
You guys, I got to stop talking.
All right.
Or I'm going to regret it. I'll regret it in the morning. So have a good time. I will chime in. I'll listen. And I'll chime in with text out of nowhere to bother you from time to time. Have a good show, guys.
Well, just send in the prosthetic voice if you have something important.
Well, I do. I'll just say this over and over and over.
Chris Cantwell. Not even once.
All right. Worms.
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 Take care. Yeah, that was interesting. So did you listen to the, did you get to listen to the episode at all?
No, so Michael sent out this alert, like, urgent, Chris Cantwell is going to be on the Freedom Fiends, go right. Listen to LRN. And so the first thing I did was go and listen to LRN, but I guess I missed the first couple of minutes or so.
I caught his story,
and I read his article.
A Fiend 411.
Yep. And so I just missed the beginning
Chris
and haven't
Cantwell,
gotten back to it
not
yet.
Even once.
Yeah, so Derek handled it like a champ, and he basically came on and disrespected Michael and for pretty much no reason. Well, okay.
Derek didn't disrespect me.
There's always a reason.
You said Derek disrespected.
No, Cantwell did. I didn't mean Derek disrespected you.
I'm making it clear.
Cantwell disrespected you. And so yeah, it was grating to listen to. Man, his voice really does. Fiendphone really brings out the timbre of his voice.
Cantwell used Fiendphone. Cantwell uses and endorses Fiendphone. Because he was talking to Brett. They were connected by a Comrex, but he was connected to Brett. And Brett was talking a little bit. Yeah. The other reason I let Cantwell on was Brett's internet was crapping in and out. It happened a couple times during the show, and I'm like, I'd rather have Cantwell on than have dead air. So go ahead. Cantwell.
So I'm for
better
Cantwell
than dead
being
air.
On.
He's better than dead air. He'll
better,
never.
No, I agree with that.
He will never, ever, ever be on again. If he goes on, if he sneaks on to Derek.
But is he better than ASMR?
I'm going to cut it, and they're going to go to that jazz porno music, and then we're going to immediately switch to Nima and I interviewing Chris Novoselic from Nirvana. That's what they always go to. All right.
There you go. Okay. There you go.
Maybe should we reset the whole scene? Because I bet the listener has no idea what we're talking about.
My heartbeat has been over 100 beats for over a month. It's getting a little slower, though. All right, take care, guys.
Is that happens? That's not something
that
kills you?
Why don't you skip the Cantwell thing and read about the kind of asthma I have and read that. Get to the Cantwell in the second hour. Okay. It's a good teaser.
So you want me
to
read?
It's a teaser. Read about me.
Acute asthma. Severe asthma. Is that what you want me to read?
Yes. Also known
or
as
status asthmaticus.
That sounds like a death metal band.
Which sounds like a nerdy triceratops. It's like a dinosaur with a pocket protector. But I'll just start at the beginning. So acute severe asthma, previously referred to and currently, what's up with that Wikipedia, currently referred to as status asthmaticus, is an acute exacerbation of asthma that does not respond to standard treatments of bronchodilators, inhalers, and steroids. Symptoms include chest tightness, rapid progressive
It's a progressive disease. It's a progressive disease, and it sounds like status.
My disease is just a little more progressive than yours.
Status asthmaticus. It's the disease of statism. It feels like you have straw in your lungs when you have statism.
Okay. Shortness of breath, dry cough, use of accessory respiratory muscles, labored breathing, and extreme wheezing, which we've all heard. It is a life-threatening episode of airway obstruction and is considered a medical emergency. Complications include cardiac and/or respiratory arrest, and it is characterized historically by smooth muscle hypertrophy and basement membrane thickening. I don't know what these things are.
Yeah, I'm getting.
Well, there you go.
I'm
it sounds like you avoided you narrowly avoided a heart attack.
I narrowly avoided a lung attack. I nearly avoided
and
death.
And a lung attack.
Yeah,
pretty much. That's so metal.
Yeah,
it's lung
Chris
metal.
Cantwell thinks he's brutal. You know what's brutal? As Death Clock says, growing old is the brutalest thing ever.
Well, he narrowly escaped a drunk girl attack.
Yeah, that's not very metal.
I mean, it's pretty scary right there.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you sick?
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, "You didn't build that"? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Sense that there is no sense of proportion.
Wait, say that again. I'm recording now.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if we're touching on there being an overlap or somewhere like the Venn diagrams overlap with this trait. And that is that your social justice crowd and your brutalist crowd have no sense of proportion. And so like they view aggression and microaggression as the same thing on the left.
Yeah.
And then they view like an actual threat from a credible danger
Brutism,
and a drunk girl windmilling at them as survival mode. Like,
yeah, I guess I would say, yeah, because
you
know what?
Thank you. That is
people having a couple. I know couples that sound like that twice a week, every Friday and Saturday night on the street. Or I've met them.
Yeah, it's like foreplay.
And they never hit each other, you know? Like, bringing that to like, you're pointing guns at people. People are getting hauled off by the cops. Cops are pointing guns at you. That's really not the same as like when I picture using a gun, I picture I wake up and there's somebody in my house in the middle of the night, or I picture some guy pulls a knife on me on the street.
Yeah.
Well, you, and the thing is, what got me the most is that there was no kind of remorse over pulling a gun on another human being at all. He was like gloating in that Fiends episode about pulling a gun on someone. And to me, like, if I had to pull a gun on someone, like at all, not even firing it, I would be holed up for like a week or so, like feeling so guilty and bad that like, even if it was justified. And in this case, it obviously
Brutism,
wasn't justified.
Not even once. Brutism. Not even once.
Did you, Michael, did you see that Onion article I tagged you in?
I don't know. I can't talk, man. I'm getting lightheaded and sick.
Okay, I might read the Onion article because it's called Man Not Always Carries once. Gun in Case He Needs to Escalate Situation.
Do it. We have more on asthma.
This is Cantwell. Right? They wrote an article about him. Yeah, we can go more on asthma. You just want to finish up the hour talking about...
Yeah.
We could talk about the difference between mucus and phlegm also.
Yeah. There you go.
And sputum?
Yes.
I didn't know that was a thing. That's kind of metal sounding. Sputum.
Phlegm clock. Phlegm clock.
Phlegm clock.
Phlegm clock.
Purulent sputum. Oh, that's gross.
That's the lead singer of a long metal band, right?
I think so. Pure, I can't even say that word. P-U-R-U-L-E-N-T. Phlegm clock. Purulent sputum. Purulent, that's going to be okay. Man. Permanent recovery. Look us serious up on the stuff. Web at Dr. 303-924. Meow. Meow. Meow.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Hey, baby, want to come over and
back.
Play with my medical supplies?
No. No, that's all right.
Hey, baby, want to come over and play with my medical supplies?
Not even once.
Not even once. Not even once.
Phlegm clock. Phlegm clock. Phlegm clock.
So phlegm is pretty metal stuff, David. Did you know that?
Is it? I didn't realize. I thought it was more kind of gooey and gross. But metal phlegm, okay.
It's that too. It's that too. That can be metal, right?
You know, metal shows up in all kinds of weird places.
It does.
Iron in the human body, that sort of thing. I've seen X-Men, Magneto put that stuff in that guy's blood, and yeah. I have no idea what I'm saying. Why are we talking about phlegm? We want to distinguish between phlegm and mucus.
The robot was saying phlegm. Yeah, so I came across this. Michael sent us this article on phlegm.
Metal in your lungs.
I found it interesting.
Metal in your lungs.
Yeah. I never knew that, like, there was so much to know about phlegm. And it's different from mucus. I learned
liquid
that too.
Metal in
and
your
actually,
lungs.
Once phlegm has been expectorated by a cough, it becomes sputum, which also sounds pretty metal.
Yeah. Why don't we start with the difference between mucus and phlegm?
Yes.
So I'm going to read these two sections because they're kind of short. And so mucus is the normal protective layering around the airway, eye, nasal turbinate, your nose, I guess, and the your urethra, essentially. Mark, mucus is an adhesive I can't read these words. It's a gel produced in the airway by submucosal glands.
Mute my mic.
What? Who? Huh? What?
I could give you an exam. No, just keep going. I'm going to mute my mic. Ugh.
What?
I'm going to mute my mic.
Oh, you're going to produce some phlegm for us?
No, I'm coughing.
So the point is that...
All right, so...
The point is mucus, it's an internal thing and it's there all the time and it's not a bad thing, right? Like, it's not like... It's a protective goo in your mucus membranes that keep it protected from elements and stuff. Whereas phlegm is more related to disease than mucus. It's kind of like the pus of the mucus membrane. Phlegm is a secretion in the airway during disease.
But you can basically drown in it.
You can basically drown in it. Well, you know, you can drown in anything that air doesn't permeate, right? Like, you can technically drown in peanut butter, so.
You could drown in peanut butter.
I'm just saying.
Could be a very delicious death. But
yeah, exactly. Phlegm usually contains mucus with bacteria, debris, and slawed off inflammatory cells. Once phlegm has
sloughed
been
sloughed off.
That's an F? GH is an F. I hate English.
That's sloughed. Yeah, that's right.
Once phlegm has been expectorated by a cough, it becomes sputum. And there's a whole new article on sputum. This word expectorated fascinates me. I'm going to have to look this up. That means cough, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's spelled by coughing.
Expectorate. Cough or spit out phlegm from the throat or lungs.
I have gallons spit. Of it if you want to buy some with Bitcoin. I have gallons of it if you want to buy some with Bitcoin.
I think you've got to find yourself Dogecoin. A black market there, man. There's got to be some niche online dark web place where... You can sell that, but I'm not the one.
Worm coin.
Worm coin.
Phlegm coin. That's what.
Worm coin. Back
so,
by phlegm.
I mean, yeah, I guess
Mark
it's interesting.
Googling. Dark web lung sales.
I want to know who the marketing and Googling people are. I want to know. I
think we need a Bitcoin bounty.
A Bitcoin bounty on who they are? I'll contribute to that. Start the Bitcoin
starter. You know what?
Starter.
You know what I Googled today to them? And this is true. Ian Freeman Googling Twitter accounts endorsed by both Michael Dean and Chris Cantwell. Look at the new header at Ian Freeman Googling. He's got quotes from me, Cantwell, and Davi on there.
Groovy.
Nice. Worms.
Yeah.
Phlegm worms.
Worms.
That for hour two. I'm going to disconnect my mic so I won't use it in hour two. Completely unplug it. So I won't be tempted.
Oh boy.
Here it goes.
Unplug it now. This show survives on donations from fiends.
Mark
like
Edge Googling.
The quote
Dark
for me
live
is
on sales.
Good for them. I have no idea what that means.
What's that?
The Ian Freeman Googling cover photo is quotes from people, right? Like, it's, I want to buy this guy a beer, Michael W. Dean. Who is Ian? Andrew 2080.
Yours
I really
is
enjoy
cut
your
off.
Comedy.
Yours
Shire
is
dude.
Cut off.
Mine says, good for them, Dobby Barker. I'm like, I don't know what that means. Who is them? Why is it good? When did I say that? What was I talking about? No idea.
I'm going to have to check it out. Let's see.
Read top tweet on Mark Edge Googling.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Is it a co-op if you split profits 50-50? The hobo lung surfers.
They're live tweeting us.
Oh, man.
Somebody needs to do a Stefan Molyneux Googling. That could be
Mark Edge Googling at Mark Edge Googling 40 minutes ago lung butter and jelly sandwich.
There's an evil Stefan Molyneux Twitter, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he tweets weird stuff kind of like that.
Lung butter and jelly sandwich.
That voodoo philosophy woman was hilarious.
Which one is that?
Michael shared it on Facebook a while back. It was a woman critiquing things that some Stefan Molyneux video about when he, you know, stops using English and starts talking about rainbows and unicorns and things. And
Google date first shot fired in the Great Keene Peace Flag War. Google date first shot fired in the Great Keene Peace Flag War.
He's such a flaggot for protecting that flag.
Great Peace Flag War.
Can I say that on the radio?
What?
Flag it. Is that?
What?
Has Derek
I have no
J said
idea
that?
What we're talking about.
Yes.
I thought Derek. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Go ahead.
Say it. I might. All right.
I'm so confused.
Well, so this whole thing stemmed. The Chris Campbell thing.
But explain it.
It stemmed from him being on patrol outside of Ian's house because people had been stealing their flag.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he's
peace
got
flag.
A, this
got
extreme dedication to this piece of fabric.
Red patrol.
You know, that's a different color than the other piece of fabric that he likes to shoot at.
Which Ian buys in bulk, by the way.
Right. Like, there's no chance of these, like, running out. It's not like this is a unique flag
that,
like,
can
never
be. A lot of things
be
in bulk.
Created away.
Like those two-way radios.
So does that make him a flaggot? Like Chris J and the other Keeniac people say all the time. It's like, oh, you worship this U.S. flag. You're a flaggot. Ha, ha, ha. So that's Cantwell. He's getting bent out of shape about a flag. That's the only reason he was up at 3 o'clock in the morning recording drunk people.
Did you guys know that he interned Roger Ver onto Bitcoin? Did you guys know that he interned
yes.
Roger Ver onto Bitcoin?
I did know that, yeah.
I did, yeah.
So yeah, somebody posted on Facebook in response to this like trampling flag Facebook meme challenge, somebody stepping on a black and yellow voluntarist flag. And the caption said, like, if this offends you, you're part of the problem or something like that.
LOL.
And I can't think of a single person anywhere who would be offended by that. Like, it's just, it's not in the nature of the voluntarist to
except
obsess over the sacredness of symbols, you know? So, Cantwell is at least talking about a real theft. It might not necessarily be about the symbol.
Does
of the
burning
flag.
A peace flag violate the NAP?
you know, better to shoot the person if they're stealing a flag than, you know, let them just run off with your flag. Am I right? I mean, it's obviously worth taking a life over a piece of fabric, right? I mean, that's his mentality. Why else are you sitting on your porch with a gun if not intending to use it over the theft of a piece of fabric? That,
well, because, you know, he might discover that the person stealing the flag is actually this like covert black ops special agent team of highly trained assassins. And when he confronts them for stealing the flag, they might like pull like some sort of weird memory eraser ray on him or some alien icer gun thing. And so he has to defend himself from the. It's definitely not a drunk person who just goes around and yanks down a piece of fabric, you know, as an opportunity crime. That's
but
not.
But if it was, that person deserves to be killed for their mistake.
Or trigger his Mancohian chip. Or trigger his Mancohian chip.
His Manco what? Mancoin? Are we?
Or trigger his Mancohian chip.
Manchurian.
Manchurian chip. Got it. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, prosthetic voice.
I kind of know robot speak.
Yes.
That CH is a tricky one with robots.
Yeah. It should really have its own letter. We should do away with the letter C, because there's nothing the letter C does that other letters can't do. And the C should be replaced with a CH hyphen letter or a bind letter.
Anacho. Anacho.
Yep. Anacho.
Thank you, Sangreet.
But I don't know. I don't know how no one else is seeing the irony of this Cantwell flag.
Oh, are you reading hour two? We're back in a couple minutes, or should I look for it?
Do you want to read hour two since I read hour one?
Yeah, let me get
it. I'm recording.
Yeah, I got it.
You agreed to the social contract by hearing that 5 minutes after I started.
Yep.
That I'm recording. Cantwell is a D-bag and deserves being a fiend about as much as Obama. Both have stinky feet.
And like to police the world slash their neighborhoods. Yes, and I'm going to make that case this hour. I think it's super socialist to do what he did.
Cantwell paid hobos in crystal meth to click his video 500,000 times.
Oh my God.
He spent 140
right before he harvested
total.
Their lungs. How many Bitcoin is
Lowell.
That?
LOL.
.com. Don't trust them, hobos.
Meow.
Meow.
No hobo. No hobo.
No hobo.
No hobo.
No hobo. No hobo.
Whoa. This is the no Freedom Whoa. Fiends. Broadcasting through the Libertarian Re-Indoctrination Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. This is your reminder that Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. What about voluntary governments like Chris Cantwell?
No
well,
hobo.
I mean, you know, no hobo, no hobo. It's so like, you know, I'm all for justice.
Isn't
I'm all
he between
for doing
jobs?
The right thing.
Isn't he between jobs?
Well, yeah, this is he had to make this video of him confronting these drunk people
no
because he was on the edge of not being able to pay his bills. And if you're like kind of a decent person
Armed
and you're not
homeless.
Trying to generate
Armed
outrage on the internet, then you're going to have a hard time paying your bills if you, that's your shtick. So,
aren't we all
you know,
on the verge of not paying our bills?
We are. We are. That's
so
true.
So I guess like I feel like we should set this up from the beginning. Like if we still have people who are listening
yes.
who went all the way through the first hour listening to us comment on something they probably didn't see, we should probably set it up for them.
Yes.
So what's going on is in Keene, New Hampshire, there's a house called the Keene Activist Center where there's a peace flag. Like I think it might even be red, white, and blue or maybe – no, I'm sorry, rainbow colored or maybe it's teal. But it's a peace sign and it's hanging
Notice
outside
I'm
the house.
I'm having huge medical bills and not being a libertarian welfare queen and begging the world to pay my bills on it.
I you know that World. That was no went totally unnoticed as it probably should have but so somebody steals this flag and it's been stolen more than once and as a result the owner buys them in bulk and it's because people don't like the political activism that goes on in this house. And so Chris Cantwell decided to...
That's the cost of doing liberty business.
Yep. No justice, no peace flags. Chris Cantwell, I think he probably talked to Ian about it, but he decided he wanted to stake out the flag to catch the person in the act of stealing it.
Like George Zimmerman.
And kind of like a little bit like George Zimmerman. I don't think that he was carrying his firearm because he was doing neighborhood watch. I think he might always carry his firearm.
Right.
But in any event, this is not that unusual in New Hampshire as it might sound in other places. But in the course of staking out this house, he overheard drunk people arguing, and specifically, I think a girl crying, and decided to investigate. And
I thought he was walking home.
M'lady.
Okay,
maybe he was walking home from Ian's house after patrolling Ian's house to make sure that no one would steal this very special piece of fabric.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to dog too much on the idea of a neighborhood watch.
Other pieces of fabric he's destroyed.
Yeah.
No. I just think it's ironic for a guy who's like shot the American flag to be so vigilant about protecting
Cantwell
this
is
other
the libertarian
piece of
Zimmerman
with different colors. Right. Yeah. I was saying that earlier. It's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. Like, I can't get bent out of shape about any piece of colored fabric. You know, I don't think it's worth someone's life if they steal a piece of fabric. And, you know, you're sitting out with the patrol hoping to catch the thief in the act. And if you're armed and you think people are trespassing on your property, he's made the argument before that you're allowed to use deadly force against those people violating.
Well, flags
your
are the
rights.
Muhammad cartoon of empire. I mean, that's what they are. They're symbols which cannot be defaced, and people respond with bloodthirst if you trample upon them. So, I don't know if the liberty movement has such a symbol. I feel like
peace flags, the Muhammad flag of liberty.
Peace flags. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So
there's a central irony to this story that just has to be pointed out. So.
And that is that this is about protecting a flag.
This is about protecting a piece of fabric with different colors than the other piece of fabric you don't like so much.
Yeah, you know, as somebody who professionally sells flag lapel pins, flags. I feel like there's a line here that
Craigslist can find used peace flag. Craigslist can find used peace flags.
Okay, there you go.
Look, I'm no fan of the American flag either. We have stamps at the office that are 4th of July themed with fireworks because that was the closest ones we could find to burning flags. So, like, I'm not defending, like, any piece of fabric. I'm just pointing out how ironic it is that he's willing to stake out his homeboy's porch until 3 o'clock in the morning to protect this flag that he his friend buys in bulk. I don't get that. Like, I don't get the reason to stand guard armed, you know, to do that. It doesn't make sense
I kind of want to get commentary from Ian about it, because Ian's solution to the theft was to buy the flag in bulk, right?
Right? So, keep making the flag, you know?
Which is sort of interesting, because, I mean, in a sense, it's almost like flyering, right? If somebody's going to steal a flag, are they going to throw it away, or are they going to hang it somewhere? And if they're going to hang it somewhere, then it's promotion. So, I don't know.
And
so I'm curious
away,
to
like,
know
whatever.
I'm curious to know whether Ian asked for Cantwell's service or if Cantwell asked him for permission to stake out his porch, or, you know, like if somebody came to me and asked me to stake out my porch with a gun, I would say no most of the time.
Right?
Like, so I don't know.
Especially someone who's shown such poor gun safety over the years. I mean, there are videos of him showing poor gun handling.
Yeah, that's a good point, too.
So, well, and in his blog post, if you read his blog post at his website, it says in the very first paragraph, "I took it upon myself to stake out and watch for this thief." It says those words, "I took it upon myself." So maybe I'm sure Ian gave him permission or whatever.
I would have given Ian the courtesy of checking. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I would have too. But there is another service that he tried to provide to other people that he did not ask permission for. And I think that's
specifically
the real
asked not to.
Part of this.
So he's walking home.
And was specifically asked not to.
and he's walking through downtown Keene, and he hears late at night four, I don't know, adult children who are drunk and fighting or arguing, and a woman is crying. And so he decides to begin recording them, and they immediately protest. The woman crying specifically, or the woman screaming, the woman he's ostensibly there to protect, is the first one to say, "Hey, that guy's recording it. Effing stop!" Right? And
rightly
And he says, "No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just here to make sure nobody gets hurt." And she says, "Nobody's going to get hurt. Just stop." And he says, "I'm not going to put it on YouTube or anything as long as nobody gets hurt." And then promptly puts it up on YouTube. Although some things happen between those two things. And so
yes,
she gets very upset about this and charges at him, kind of screaming for him to turn off the camera. And he says, "I'm not going to do that." And then he says, "Get away from me. Don't come any closer. I have a gun." He pulls the gun on her, and we lose the video at that point because he drops the camera when he pulls the gun on her. But we still have audio, and police promptly show up and
de-escalate the tension. Very dangerous situation.
Yeah, so there's a lot of problems here. So one is I get the
that phone's audio is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Is it a fiend phone?
I get the instinct. I don't know. It's probably an Android. I get the instinct to want to intervene if it sounds like someone is in distress. And I think that that's a good instinct until they say, "I don't want your help. Leave me alone."
So because this then, is the bad thing. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, so this is the kind of messed up thing about Cantwell is he's someone who wants to be left alone but doesn't believe that other people deserve to be left alone when actually fairly politely asked at first, considering that these people were intoxicated and it was around 3 o'clock in the morning. She, you know, she was stern, but she wasn't unfair in her request. I think
and he
people
made a spectacle
do have
of
a reasonable level
too.
Of privacy.
Like he didn't stand discreetly and record from across the street. He went into the middle of the street. So he made a spectacle of himself. So yeah, I mean,
well, and it's very telling. The very second sentence he says in that video, you can tell YouTube is on his mind because the second sentence out of his mouth is, "I'm not going to put this up on YouTube if nobody gets hurt." And I think that betrays his actual motives here. And I know it's not popular to point out what people's motives are, but I think if you look at what he writes and you look at his behavior, it all lines up with someone.
I think the girl mentioned YouTube first.
Well, that to be fair, so that is that is normal. I say things like that too. Like I've been in situations where like I'm going to be doing cop watching or something like that, and the person who the cop is harassing sort of like looks at me and says, "Hey man, knock it off, turn off the camera, blah blah blah." And I know that what they're afraid of is being put on YouTube. And so then I say to them,
"So is everyone. No one wants their public arguments put on YouTube."
Right. Like but so what I will reassure the person and say, "Look, this isn't for YouTube. I'm not here watching you. I'm here watching them." And sometimes they get it and sometimes they don't, right? And but if a person asks me after understanding what I'm up to, asks me to stop, I stop, you know?
Right.
This because, you know, really like providing a service a person doesn't want is what a government does.
Well, yeah, it's super socialist, and this is why I maintain that Cantwell's a socialist, to go and force your services of documenting an event on people who do not want that service and politely ask you to stop filming them. I think people do have a reasonable level of privacy, and I've been seeing this argument coming from libertarians that it's not against the law to film someone. Well, it's also not against the law to throw someone in a cage for a plant. Just because something's legal doesn't mean there's not a moral quality to it. I think
is that the argument? The argument is that it's legal?
Respect people's privacy. I've seen that argument used several times by people defending Cantwell in this situation, and I think it's a silly argument because it's a very cherry picking thing. It's like you know, if you're basing these things on principles, then I think it's very obvious that he was 100% wrong in this situation because he violated the principle of respecting someone else's privacy, despite it being a public place. So
see, I kind of disagree. So
I
don't care about the law.
He provoked a situation with drunk people, and he has a no. But this is my point: is if you're armed, which I'm armed most of the time, I think you do have a moral obligation to avoid tense situations that might cause you to draw your firearm at any time, and that you should be extremely hesitant to always pull your firearm. If you're videotaping people who are obviously agitated and intoxicated, these are not reasonable people. They're not going to be, you know, believing in the non-aggression principle. They're not going to be reasonable at all. It is irrational and horrible to deal with a situation by provoking them in the camera. And I went through a similar situation a couple years ago that I'll talk about when we get back from this trip to the free market.
Worms.
It didn't end in pulling a gun on someone.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Public street, because we don't afford that to police. And so unless we're going to create a separate moral class for police, then I think civilians have the same rights to being filmed as police. So like for me, this whole thing is a tension between the non-aggression principle and the don't be a D principle. And I think all over it, he's violated the don't be a D principle. But yeah, that's
it's
much,
in
much
his easier. Tagline.
He kicked a hornet's nest, basically. I mean,
yeah.
That's
oh,
what
totally
he,
unwise.
He was filming them. No, he was filming them to intentionally incite these people to anger so he could get more views for his thing that he's trying to do, is his welfare queen thing. Like,
do you think that was on his mind at the time?
I do, and
I don't
I'm going to break it down in the next segment.
I don't know.
I have a very good reason for believing this, and it's not just crazy. I don't like Chris Cantwell. I would be saying this to anyone.
You go, girl.
Who says, like, if Davi, so if you went out and provoked drunk people, I'd be like, Davi, what the hell are you doing? Like, that's seriously, like, ridiculous behavior.
So I would only do what he did in a situation where there was a police officer already involved, and I was recording the police officer. I would never do it to a drunk
yes.
person just being a drunk person. Unless I actually felt that I needed to create some piece of evidence for an actual crime in progress. Something like that, I might do it. But
right.
I would mention YouTube. So him having mentioned YouTube doesn't speak to motivation to me, because I do say something like that to somebody as a response to objection before I turn it off. So...
Mm-hmm.
That
oh, everything
seems
else he did.
Me. Yeah.
Yeah. I well, you wouldn't have the character of provoking drunk people in the first place. So
yeah, no.
You know, but I think the biggest factor in this is that he was armed while doing all of these very anger inducing things that you know on I'm sorry, anyone who's ever had an argument with a drunk person or been drunk and been in an argument or like witnesses on any level knows this. It's a thing that like people with common sense recognize. You don't incite drunk people to anger, especially if they're already angry, especially if you're armed. That's the thing. Like, he knew that they would get mad. Anyone who's dealt with intoxicated people has to know that on some level, and you don't
well,
insert yourself
hasn't.
Into that situation.
I mean,
he's a
recovering alcoholic. This is my point, though. What you're describing is the way that a wise, sober person deals with an unwise, drunk person. But I'll bet 9 times out of 10, Cantwell has been the unwise, drunk person in that scenario.
So now he's an unwise, drunk person with a gun, trying to insert himself in situations.
Maybe he get away with it and didn't count on the cops showing up.
I think it's much more likely that he just wanted to film a video. Didn't even expect it to get out of hand, but did it to bother people, because that's exactly what he does. That's his shtick. That's what he's claimed that he loves doing. He's done this with close friends of his. He's made
yeah.
private conversations public and broken decades-long friendships with people over disagreeing over a joke that was bad. I mean, this guy thrives off of negative attention. He was trying to humiliate these
Maybe
people.
They were hobos and he paid them in crystal meth to be in his little video and play a fighting couple.
Are you gonna say that on the air? I think we need to talk about the bribing of hobos with crystal
Maybe
meth.
They were hobos and he paid them in crystal meth to be in his little video and play a fighting couple.
And maybe hey, we're back and we're
the truth comes out.
And talk play radio. With some medical equipment. Hey baby, wanna come up to my place and play with some medical equipment?
Not even once.
Crystal meth and medical equipment.
Not even
Get
once.
Get weird on the fiends. Not even once.
So he says to this girl in an effort to calm her down, hey, I'm not going to put this on YouTube unless anybody gets hurt. And lo and behold, it is on YouTube. Nobody was hurt.
Despite no one being hurt.
Yeah. So that's at least a violation of a social contract. And normally I don't think social contracts are enforceable, but he wrote this social contract. So.
Yeah, and I mean, this is in line with his character, the same way he acted on the show when he came on the other night after, you know, Michael and Derek both politely requested that he just tell his story. I mean, being on air is enough, you know, and just tell your story without being insulting. And he couldn't even handle that. And he agreed to do that. And then he just didn't care because he doesn't care about principles. That's
there you go.
And this is the point I want to make with this is. So I had an experience kind of similar to Cantwell's a couple years ago, and I was leaving a bar. I was at a show at this bar I went to, and I was leaving, and I hear people yelling and screaming. It's an argument. I hear girls crying, guys yelling. Similar situation, and it's around the corner on this kind of side street. So I walk around the corner. I was unarmed, by the way, totally unarmed. I walk around the corner, and you know, these guys are kind of yelling, and this girl is curled up on the ground, and you know, upon first seeing the sight, I don't know what's going on. I can't presume to know what's going on because I don't know if she was pushed down to the ground, which was possible. I don't know if she was maybe drunk and was laying on the ground because she didn't feel well. I didn't know anything about the situation. So what I did is the guys were kind of backed away. They were looking flustered. They were just kind of like, oh, this girl's being dramatic. And they'd been screaming at her, but they kind of backed away and were standing by this car right next to her. So I wanted to know what was going on to make sure this girl was safe. So you know what I did? Instead of filming them and provoking them because they were drunk, I walked up to them and I simply asked if everything was okay. I got down on the ground with the woman. I asked if she was doing all right, if she needed any help, if you know, everything was all right, was she in any danger? All of these things. I de-escalated the situation, and it turns out she had just been drinking. She had fallen down. She was, you know, having a rough night. And so I talked with her a little bit. I got her to feeling better. The guys there were kind of like, yeah, she just had too much to drink. We got in this huge argument, this drunken argument, but, you know, we're not going to hurt anyone. And these were all people who were much larger than me. There were about three grown men there and this woman, this adult woman. And that's all it took. Like, everything was fine. It turns out there wasn't a serious problem. And if they had asked me to leave, if they thought that I was intrusive, then I absolutely would have left immediately because I would have felt that I was in physical danger because I was outnumbered by people who were larger than me and I was obviously unarmed. And I went up to them to find because most people you can reason with, even if they are completely drunk. Now, the difference in the situation is he wasn't there to check on them to see if the woman was in danger. Because if he really wanted to do that as a grown man who's twice the size of this woman who charged at him, he could have, you know, walked over there and asked if everything was OK. He didn't have to film it. Him filming it was a messed up move, in my opinion, because I'm okay with filming cops. I'm totally fine with that. But I think if it comes to private conversations with people, it was in a public space, but it was, you know, between private parties, and they ask you to leave, I think you should respect their privacy just as you would want your privacy respected by people. They didn't know who this guy was. They didn't know if he was an exhibitionist. You know, filming them, they didn't know if he was trying to stir things up. I mean, he created a dangerous situation or a tense situation, even tenser, by being there and provoking them. But drunk people aren't reasonable people. Like, you're not going to be able – you can reason with them sometimes if you're polite and you you approach things very peacefully and in a de-escalative manner. He did not do that. He escalated up to the point where she charged at him because guess what? Drunk women are sometimes crazy and they're going to charge
you.
Oh,
that was so crazy.
Drunk.
I cannot even imagine as a drunk charging a person with a gun. Like,
I would never do that. And I'm not condoning that. But I am saying if you come across drunk people and you intentionally provoke them,
it's called suicide by cop.
This is going to happen. Right.
Yeah. That is the moment where you know you're not dealing with a sane person, though. Yeah.
He had several opportunities to de-escalate and walk away and leave them be, and he chose not to. And he pulled a gun on someone. He almost killed someone over this. It's not right.
Worms. We'll be back after this.
Maybe Cantwell thinks being on The Fiends was his idea, but I actually made it happen and involved Derek J as my straight man to make it happen.
.com to help keep it drone-proof.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
LRN.FM needs your help getting our satellite signal back on in Africa. Our satellite provider had us on at no charge from 2012 through February of this year when they pulled the channel off the air. Now we're trying to raise $22,000 to continue reaching people with the message of liberty in places where it's needed most. Please visit our Indiegogo fundraiser at africa.lrn.fm. Give what you can and share the link with your friends. africa.lrn.fm.
Yeah.
Why? The real thing happened and it was completely wrong in every way. Like, we don't need theory to understand this. Like, we had a real life thing that happened, and I think everyone should. I'm sorry, like,
because
if I knew
the reason
someone did that,
the reason
I would
why
be
for
seriously
me,
disassociating from them. I'd be very, very concerned for my own safety around such a loose cannon.
The reason
this,
for me
this
is
a person
that it
who actually
out,
almost died.
Yeah, I know. The reason for me to reference theory in the analysis is to point out that something really kind of wretched and dangerous is capable of satisfying the theory. And so that means that the theory does not stand alone.
Right, yeah. I don't think, I would agree with that. I just
hey,
find,
you
yeah,
know
I
why?
Find it really
unsafe
weird.
Gun handling does not violate the non-aggression principle.
Right, it doesn't.
So why are we getting all upset about it? Why aren't libertarians defending people who muzzle sweep each other?
Well, do those people end up getting almost killed by that? I mean, I guess
well, yeah, I mean,
the
that's,
guns
that's
load.
The
you
point.
Want to be careful about gun safety, yeah. But I mean, this
no, why?
Is,
why?
Was targeted.
Being, not being
this
careful
a,
is
like,
not an act of aggression. I mean, you get libertarians who will say owning
Cantwell
a private nuclear device
Cantwell
does
would
not...
have missed if he'd shot the guy.
Well, yeah, you gotta
but he
for innocent
wanted
bystanders.
To shoot her. Like, this, I don't know. Like, this is...
Yeah, but see, Sangrita, if he had shot at the girl and missed, he would have hit somebody's innocent storefront, and that would have been a violation of property.
Oh, so, God. No one I likes George Zimmerman, and that's exactly what he was doing. He's just a wannabe cop.
Yeah.
It's like, there's no... The only thing worse than a cop is someone who wants to be a cop, who, like, really,
I mean, that's
really
the great
just
thing.
Wants to, like, bring the law down on people, and...
The thing
just,
about
it's one thing to be a decent person, it's another thing to be a cop.
The thing about Cantwell and Zimmerman is that yes, okay, technically speaking, they're not aggressing in what they're doing, but what they are doing is they're ignoring market signals, right? Nobody is paying them to do this, right? Like, there's no demand for it. There's nobody who's so confident in their skills that they're willing to pay them to do it. Like, they're ignoring. Does an atheist? What now? So,
Well, I think he did this specifically to generate controversy. So
does an atheist go to heaven if he shoots a guy really yelling at a woman?
I don't know. What? Who?
Does an atheist go to heaven if he shoots a guy yelling at a woman?
Got no idea.
Yeah.
Worms.
Meow.
Meow.
Sorry.
Sangreet's got a frog in her throat.
Dope.
This is the Freedom Fiends.
Doe.
Ray. Me.
Doe.
So. La.
So I think there's something to sort of parse out here, and that is that there's a distinction or a tension in this story between the non-aggression principle, which is what we're always talking about in the realm of libertarianism, and the don't be a D principle. And if you don't know what D stands for, it's it's short for Richard. And
Dick.
Most of the criticisms I have in this scenario are about him being an a-hole. So I don't know that, like, the person actually has privacy on a... I don't think a person actually has an expectation of privacy on a public street, because we don't afford that to police officers. And the reason we don't afford that to police officers is because we, as voluntarists, are not willing to create a class of people with special rights, right? So these people don't have a right to privacy on a public street. But they, you know, we have a social custom of civility among non-aggressive people, right?
Yes.
And so it's a violation of civility, which is not an act of aggression. It doesn't mean Cantwell deserves to be shot, although I wouldn't have been surprised if one of them shot him. it just means that these are not the kinds of people I want to be around, because it's dangerous, right?
Not at all. He's going to actually end up getting himself shot or shoot someone.
I'm surprised they didn't shoot him.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
he's lucky that the Keene police are so professional. And you will barely ever hear me defending police actions, but man, is he lucky.
Oh, I'm talking about the four drunk adult children. I'm surprised with as gun friendly a place as New Hampshire is, and as prevalent as firearms is, statistically speaking, you have four New Hampshireites, four Granite Staters. One of them should have a firearm. So
I think Ian and Derek J made them more professional.
Made who more professional? What now?
Keene cops.
Oh yeah, cops have been trained. Absolutely, the activists have trained the police in Keene,
which I totally support. By the way, that's great.
But see, that's the thing. They haven't trained the civilians in Keene. Like, Cantwell is using a strategy that they've used on police officers in Keene, and the police are familiar with and know the limits of. And he's applying that to strangers on the street who've never been filmed in public, who've never become a target of these activists, who have not received the activist training that the police have.
Good luck,
and
buddy.
And who are intoxicated too. I mean, I really think that can't be overlooked. And I think one of the best quotes I heard about this was from Tim. He said, "If it ain't broke, pull a gun on it." And that's really sums up this situation, because this was a situation no one was being injured at. No one was being hurt. There was some yelling going on, which is, you know, not a good thing that at that hour, but no one was being hurt. They confirmed no one was being hurt. They were like, you know, "Move along, sir. I just want to be left alone." And he did everything, literally everything someone could do if they wanted to get into a fight with a drunk person. And he did that wearing a gun. And I found this Onion article that must have been written about him. I tried to tag Michael in it, but he didn't respond. So it says, "Man always carries gun in case he needs to escalate situation." And I'm just going to read this. This is a satirical article, by the way. The Onion is not a real source of news. Trigger warning, satire. Okay. "Stressing the importance of being prepared for any circumstance that may occur, local man Chris Cantwell," I changed the name, "told reporters Monday he carries a gun on his person at all times in case he ever needs to escalate a situation. Quote, "I never leave home without my Glock." He carries a Taurus, though. "Because you just don't know when someone might mouth off to you in a bar and leave you with no choice but to turn a minor altercation into into a tense life or death scenario, said Donner, noting that he keeps his loaded gun in a hip holster should the need arise for him to respond quickly and with deadly force when he is angered by a perceived slight. Quote, look, I hope to God no one ever tries to hit on my wife while I'm within earshot, but in the real world, things like this do happen. Sometimes you only have a split second to react and make things exponentially more dangerous. At press time, sources confirmed Cantwell was pulling up next to a Honda Civic that had cut him off in traffic several blocks earlier. That kind of sums up the situation for me. Not, I mean, obviously it's satire. It's,
I mean, it's unfortunate because I mean,
character, but he turned a minor altercation into a tense life or death scenario needlessly. Needlessly,
with pepper spray
he could have done with pepper spray in his with non-lethal options available. And I'm sorry, the first non-lethal option available to you if you're a man who's twice the size of your attacker is like
who's been bragging about working out
who's been bragging about working out is to, like, you know, maybe restrain them or, you know, maybe just leave the situation when it's become dangerous for you and you have a weapon that could end the life of anyone there, including yourself, if the police come, which they did.
So first off, there's part of this that I realize maybe this is sexist, but this girl is half his size and a drunk girl running at me, like trying to like claw my eyes out or something. I feel like I could handle that without a gun. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But
I'm fairly certain you could. The windmill arms are not an effective fighting technique. Okay.
The other
drunk
thing,
windmill
though,
arms, like, come on.
You can tell by the camera that when he's backing away with the camera on her. So he's walking backwards away. He's not turning around and leaving, right? Mm-hmm. So if he had turned his back on her and walked away, I bet she'd had no interest in him whatsoever.
No, she wouldn't have. And that's the thing. Like, I'm sorry. Like, again, trying to argue with drunk people about while you're doing an act that's meant to humiliate them is really going to infuriate them. And I don't condone attacking someone, even if you're intoxicated, for I don't think words are a reason to attack someone, but not everyone believes in the non-aggression principle. In fact, most people don't. And that has to be taken into context when you're going out into the world with a majority of people who don't believe in the same principles as you, and you're carrying a gun that could very easily end a life. And I'm all about etiquette and responsibility, and I didn't see him take any responsibility for this. In fact, when he was on The Fiends, he was almost gloating that he pulled a gun on an unarmed drunk woman half his size. I'm sorry, that's
appalling.
So he was
saying something to the police officer.
No, I had to do my, like, outrage thing. That's just appalling to me. All right. That he would come on here and feign outrage over being attacked by this little woman when he caused the entire situation to escalate to that point. And it's just horrific. I would be holed up in my room, like, freaked out that I had pulled a gun on someone, completely guilt-ridden, you know, even if I didn't fire it, and even if it was justified. I never want to use my firearm, and I'm not just saying that, you know, with other intentions. I don't know. He's written a lot about shooting people for insignificant things in the past, and I think that really has to be taken into consideration when you look at his actions in this video.
Sure. I don't carry a firearm. I know that you carry a firearm regularly. I don't, because I'm in California and I hate paperwork. And so he said something that I've heard cops say, but I've never heard civilians say. And that was, and he said to the cop, you know what I'm talking about. And that was, you never get in a fist fight while you're carrying a firearm.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. Like, cause to me, what that means is the woman's running at him and she's clawing and he has a choice. He could pull out the firearm and threaten her, or he can, like, you know, hold his hand out and do that, like, holding her by the forehead as she swings under his arms thing. And so why don't you get in a fist fight while you're carrying a firearm? Like, I get with police because it's an open carry and you're worried that the suspect is going to get your firearm. But if he's got it under a jacket on his hip or whatever, like, why? I don't get it. Do you understand this rule?
Yeah, because it could end in you having to kill someone, and that's a really awful thing. Like, you would never want to put yourself in a situation that's tense while having a firearm. I think
this as a justification for pulling the firearm. Like, I could not deal with this. It's the way that it sounded to me when he said it, and maybe this is my own ignorance, but the way when he said it was, I had to pull the firearm because you don't get in a fist fight when you're holding a firearm. That was the way I understood it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, maybe from like a tactical standpoint, someone could take it from you and, you know, all of that. But I mean, to me,
that
like,
didn't seem realistic to me at all.
Well, he had several choices he could have made up to the point.
Or is it
where
a maximum escalation thing? Like, you don't pull a firearm if you've got a finger on the button. You know what I'm talking about? You go straight to the nuclear option.
Yeah,
that's what it sounded like to me.
Well, that's the thing. He made several choices up to the point of having of feeling like he had to pull the firearm.
He didn't even have to tell. He told them that he had a firearm before he pulled it. He didn't have to even tell them.
Yeah, and he waited quite a long time to tell them too. If you watch that video, they're already coming towards him when and getting very close when he decides to drop that bit of information. And you know, again, I mean, drunk people are not reasonable. They're not maybe going to believe you if you say you have a firearm. And you know, I don't think someone deserves to be killed for the crime of having a drunk argument in public.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's almost how this ended. Granted, it didn't. I'm glad no one was hurt. I'm glad for once in my life, I'm glad the cops were there to stop this situation and, you know, calm things down. And you know, it's great that no one was hurt. But with that kind of attitude and that mindset and that unrepentant, bad attitude towards the situation, I think there's probably going to be more problems. And, you know, if I was living in Keene, I wouldn't want him as my neighbor. And to me, it's all about civility. You know, if you want this peaceful society to work, then you actually kind of have to be peaceful and respect other people's, you know, space and privacy, even if they are in a public space. I think that's a matter of decency when you're dealing with private citizens, as opposed to the police who are public officials. So I get your point about there not being any privacy in public. And in fact, there were probably a lot of store cameras or other cameras recording the whole thing. So him even being there was probably unnecessary, even for that service that he was forcing upon them.
Oh, like if an actual assault occurred, there probably would have been store camera footage of it or something like that.
Yeah, it was in like a downtown area looking.
I mean,
you know,
to me, this is it's not about defending the behavior because it doesn't violate the non-aggression principle. It's about pointing out that the non-aggression principle is not the only rule to live by. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. So the example I gave during the break, and this, I really want to talk about this for like a full segment sometime, but it's that like, unsafe gun handling, muzzle sweeping, trigger, whatever, having your finger on the trigger when it's unsafe. These things don't violate the non-aggression principle. Right. But libertarians will hound you if they see you carrying a firearm unsafely. And I'm grateful for that. I think that's a good thing to have as a custom in a firearms culture. And so this is my point, is there are customs on top of principles that are about wisdom and about good conduct and about, you know, don't be an a-hole.
Exactly.
Waiting Period is the only Selby novel with a happy ending. Seriously.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
That it's a series of tubes. Take back the free
lung butter and jelly sandwich.
Do we have a show title? I really like what Tim's. I think that would make a good show title. If it ain't broke, pull a gun on it. For safely sharing media with the world.
If you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom, it is pretty good. 3 extra days
free. That's I like it. At
I like it too. .net.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get
professional. I don't know. Like, that's like my biggest fear is that I'll ever have to use my gun. I mean, I just think people should be mortified if they ever pull a gun on someone, even if it was justified. I don't know. Did anyone else get that vibe from the Fiends episode that he was kind of like almost bragging about it? I mean, he was completely unrepentant.
I'm going to have to be honest with you. I couldn't take his voice for very long. So there was a
really
lot
annoying
said in that episode I didn't hear.
Goodness, his voice is way more annoying on Fiend Phone than Free Talk Live.
Yeah, that's true. It was because I listened to. I'll still listen to Free Talk Live when Cantwell's on. But yeah, his voice was particularly grating on me.
And he was drunk too. I'm pretty
and so
sure
was
he was
Brett's
drunk.
To some
he was
extent.
Slurring really bad.
Check
which,
your
I mean,
emails.
Shoot,
check your
I have
emails.
To have some drinks after going through that, but.
stressful issues.
Oh, I saw. I've seen this meme in like 12 places on Facebook, Michael.
I love that. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. This kind of radio will kill you. I love that. It's such an intense picture too. Like I don't know. Really, it's a good contrast.
Rush Limbaugh, after he lost weight, he looks like a robot or something. I don't like it.
I think he had some work done too.
Yeah.
I don't know. He looks more different than just losing weight.
That's an old picture, I think.
Okay.
From when he was like 40.
Like a robot.
Man, are we almost done?
Yeah, one segment left.
And Slim from Oxy.
Oh, okay. That will make you really skinny. Do we got a redemption? Don't be a jerk. It's not nice.
I've lost 20 pounds since January. Wow.
January.
Yeah, I didn't really mention that.
It's not a good thing.
Dang. No. You don't want to lose weight like that.
It's because I can't taste food. Side effect from one me. Side effect from one med.
Oh, man. Hmm.
And from oxygen like tube in the nose all the time. What?
I feel like I would still eat if I couldn't taste food because for me it's about texture.
Yeah, I'm weird.
That's part of it.
Textures.
That's why I can't eat cooked mushrooms.
I notice that more now.
Huh. I can't eat raw mushrooms because of that.
Well, I have raw mushrooms fine.
Mushrooms like taste like cooked cocks.
All right.
Good to know.
Texture-wise.
Hey, not if you put enough tamari on them.
Lung butter and jelly sandwich.
Sputum butter. I can't eat squash of any kind.
I like squash fine.
Mark Edge Googling lung butter and jelly sandwich with a side of sputum.
Delish. Cut costs. Oh, we didn't get to Florida Man. Oh, well.
We can end on Florida Man.
Florida Man was the first person to use Bitcoin.
Isn't Cantwell sort of Florida Man?
He couldn't hack into Florida Man.
Mark Edge Googling lung butter and jelly sandwich with a side of sputum.
But is it sputum. Contraceptive jelly?
Oh.
No, bro.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're too busy talking to do talk radio because during the breaks we do a variety show, which is completely different than the regular show. And you'll never get to hear it because we're a secret society.
That show needs a name.
It's the in-between show.
The in-between show. The not quite live show.
Not quite live. Sub live.
Fiends behind the scene. Show.
Yeah, there you go. I like that.
Do you want to talk about Florida Man?
Oh, I guess we can talk about Florida Man. We'll bring the vibration up to Florida levels. So Florida Man's been busy. Did you know though that it was a Florida man who used the first Bitcoin transaction? So
I find this I'm highly dubious of this claim. What are you talking about?
Yeah, the first Bitcoin transaction, the pizza.
Oh,
Laszlo
okay.
Heinitz. Yeah, okay. 10,000 Bitcoin for the pizza. He said it was okay. Good pizza too. So Florida Man made history by doing that.
What is Florida Man? So I'd never heard of this until you sent me this link.
So let me explain Florida Man. And so there's a Reddit and there's also a Twitter and it's called Florida Man. And Florida is notorious for having a bunch of weird, crazy crimes that go down because the climate draws just a wide variety of people. And, there's just all kinds of crazy stuff going on in Florida. So they started collecting these headlines. You know,
sex
Florida
with
man
trees.
Does this, Florida man does that. Sex with trees. Mm. I mean, it's
sex
craziness.
With pit bulls.
It's really, really funny.
In public.
Right, sex in public. And we can read some of the Reddit. I'm trying to find it if you'd like. But yeah, so it's basically making fun of all of these real headlines that start with Florida man and then he does something crazy. And then there's also Florida woman because, you know, let's be fair, Florida women are kind of crazy too. So I say that as a Florida woman. But I'm not like going to get drunk and windmill arm fight you or anything. especially if you have a gun, but
some of these headlines are fantastic. Florida man. I lost it. There was one about an axe. Florida man arrested in double sided axe attack. So he went all medieval
axe.
On somebody. Where do you even get a double sided axe? You have to get that at like the Dungeons Florida. And Dragons supply store, right?
Oh yeah, it's in Florida. Oh man, I love this one. Florida man chucks rock at cop car because from President Obama is trying to quote bleep my mind up.
There you go.
Florida man punches shark in the face.
Florida man. See, this poses is why Cantwell couldn't hack it in Florida. He didn't live in Florida. He lived in New York.
Right. Well, this is why he couldn't make it in Florida. Like,
oh yeah, like in Florida, never, those kids would have shot him.
He would never be able to provoke drunk kid. He would have been shanked, and his lungs would have been taken.
Or worse, you know, they might have like locked him up in a basement and dressed him up LOL. Like a cheerleader and made YouTube videos or something.
LOL.
Right, right.
Because Barack Obama told them to via orbital mind control lasers and crocodiles.
Right. Oh, this guy. Florida this man, is a listen sad to this. One.
Florida man posing as a doctor sexually assaults victim who is helping him move.
Yeah, I don't know how that sequence happened. I like this one. Florida man kills imaginary friend, turns self in. And it's the saddest mugshot I've ever seen.
I have an
He's
uncle
like crying.
That lives in I have an uncle that lives in Florida. He's a marine biologist. That's not a joke, that's true. I should see if he's ever done anything crazy.
He should have turned kind of himself into the imaginary police.
There you go.
There you go. Oh man, another imaginary people thing. Knife wielding Florida man maces garbage truck to get his imaginary girlfriend back.
My brother lives in Florida and his name is James Dean.
There you go.
Nice. Oh, that's so cool.
Seriously.
So you can count on Florida man.
I think the moral of the story is if you want to behave like Chris Cantwell, move to Florida.
Right. Right. I don't think you can make it in Florida. But
yes, yes, yes.
They should have their own free state project. It should be the... I don't know what it should be. The lunatic...
Drunk
Florida
state project.
Is in a state of anarchy.
Drunk state
kind of
project.
Already.
The phlegm state project.
Sputum state project.
Meth state project.
Meth State Project.
Well, it's been a That's pretty good true. Show.
Free Meth Project.
I'm for your
Free Meth Project.
For your heading. If it's not broken, pull a gun on it.
If it's not broken, pull
meth
a gun
stamps.
On it.
Meth
stamps. Worms.
Wake up and smell.
Does Obamacare pay for meth?
You can do to help liberate this torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help
if it's for medicinal purposes. You can
set
why
up
not?
Your computer to download and share Freedom
Great show, you all thank you.
Take it, Florida.
You can even set up great show, you all
thanks.
Thank you.
It was fun. I like this robot translator.
Worms.
You got.
Yeah.
Naked Florida woman high on flocka calls herself God, crashes through window, and gets tasered.
Thanks,
good
Nathan.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nathan. Hey.
Yo, worms.
Worms.
Florida man takes cop car for a joyride. I'm sure that ended well.
Yes. Well, because Florida man is also the Florida cop, so just
okay.
Keep that in mind, because this is like if the scene had gone down in Florida, like he would have been shot. I mean, they wouldn't have even hesitated.
And some of these Florida man is one word,
right?
Florida man snatches jewelry off of a tourist, comes back to confront him.
I had a roommate who spent
fake.
A year in prison for ramming a cop car with his
Whoa.
Car with a cop in the cop car 8 times. My roommate was
oh
naked and on meth. I had a roommate who
oh
spent a year in prison for ramming a cop car with his car with a cop in the cop car 8 times. My roommate was naked and on meth.
Was he from Florida?
Seriously.
Wow.
No.
Well,
Minnesota.
Oh,
is Westboro in Minnesota. Florida? I know Gainesville is the Universal World Church or whatever.
Westboro. No, I think they're in like Kentucky or something. Man, that was a point I was going to make. Cantwell is just like Westboro Baptist. He is just like
Why
those
is that?
People.
How
because
so?
He goes to situations specifically, he creates controversies specifically to incite anger in people. And then, like, acts all surprised when people get mad, and then tries to claim persecution for his beliefs. That's what he was doing on The Fiends, too. He was like, oh, I'm a victim, and my people are being attacked. It's like, maybe you guys are just a bunch of jerks, and that's why
Are we
people
disconnected,
don't like you.
Michael? Are we off of GCN? I suppose so.
Yes.
So I would like to dub this type of person an asshole provocateur.
Yes. That's perfect.
Yeah, Westboro Baptist is in Topeka, Kansas. But I know that the handlebar mustache burning Quran's all world church guy is in Gainesville, Florida.
Yeah, that guy is in Florida. Yeah.
And he's a good old fashioned loony. Like watch his YouTube channel, man. He's full on like reptile demons are taking over the country and stuff like this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He is completely nutters. We have some really crazy fundamentalist people in Pensacola. I mean,
did you hear Berwick is a flat earth guy? Did you hear Berwick is a flat earth guy?
No, but I know he's a moon conspiracy guy.
It's so hard. I actually had an argument with him about the flat earth or the round earth that he thinks is flat.
Well, see, the thing is, you guys don't realize that space is curved.
Mind blown.
Hey, baby, let's fuck. I believe in Earth guy. Hey, baby, let's fuck. I believe in a flat earth guy.
There you go. Because the flat earthers have to breed faster than the round earthers. That's the way that they'll win.
Gotta outbreed the round earthers. I just don't get the point of that conspiracy. Like,
it's really important.
It's like, why would that be?
It's the airline racket. That's the point.
Okay. Goodness. Islam is of the devil. I'm reading that Terry Jones guy's Wikipedia now.
Terry Jones, that's his name.
That guy.
It's I've looked into the Dove guy. World Outreach Center, and it is a lot like the Westboro Baptist Church in the sense that it's a huge property with like a pastor and his family and maybe six other people that are just like really good at making controversies and don't actually have a crowd. Like they inflate their numbers by being loud.
Right, right.
But they're like, there's almost nobody there. Like there's like a group photo would involve 10 people.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's a lot of these crazy people.
He also has a photo on his desk of George W. Bush hugging Jesus with lights and halos behind him.
America.
The Iron Lung Hamster.
The Iron Lung Hamster, yes. Are you rechristened? Is that your new?
Gotta run, kids.
Your new name?
Worms.
All right. Worms.
Thank you, Fiends Prosthetic Voice.
Great show.
Talk to you later, Michael.
Thanks. Hope you feel better.
Thank you for your service.
I'm going to sign off too.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you guys later.
Sounds good. Peace.